It's less than a week to the opening of the World Meeting of Families in Milan that will be attended by Pope Benedict for its final 3 days. Hundreds of thousands of people from more than 140 countries around the world are set to attend the 5-day event. The World Meeting of Families are held every 3 years and are sponsored by the Vatican Pontifical Council for the Family as a way for families to meet, discuss critical issues and grow in the faith. This year's theme is The Family, Work and Celebration. Among the participants planning to attend the event is Bishop John Hine, head of the Committee for Marriage and Family Life of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. He began by telling me why these family meetings are so important.
I think it is always a good experience to get together with other people who are similarly concerned for marriage and family life from around the world. Everyone has slightly different experiences, but also many common ones. And also, I think that they've been working on different aspects of marriage and family life, and we can all learn from each other. But also, of course, you have the lectures and the people who are specialists who are talking to you. And that all instigates further thought. And it's also a good time for the delegation from England and Wales to have some time together without an agenda, just to be able to reflect together.
When you talk to families during the course of your pastoral work, what do they tell you are the main challenges, the main difficulties they face, you know, trying to keep their marriage together, raise their children in the way they would like to?
Interestingly enough, a few years ago, we did a big survey on what it was that families in our church, in this country, wanted from their church to support them in marriage and family life. And out of that came eventually three priorities. First of all, what they wanted was family-friendly parishes, with all that that meant. Parishes which encouraged and gave time and opportunity for families to be strengthened, really, and who had an open welcome, really, for young people especially. Secondly, what became apparent was that families wanted to understand something more about domestic spirituality than the spirituality of the home. And a lot of work was done on that. And a DVD was produced called Home is a Holy Place, which is still being used around the diocese because it sparks off great conversations among the families about the spirituality of the home. Another aspect, I think, really was the whole area of passing on the faith to the next generation, which of course is a very, very complicated issue and involves all sorts of aspects of church. And we're still working on that very much and trying to focus a little bit more on family catechesis.
Would you agree that today the environment for the family is quite a daunting one? There are many challenges. I mean, take, for instance, marriage. I read that around a third of all marriages end in divorce. And apparently it has, in the last year, you know, gone up again after several years of decreasing, presumably due to the recession.
Yes, I'm always a little bit wary of statistics like that because sometimes they include second and third marriages being divorced. So you can't be sure all the time. But undoubtedly there has been an increase and there are huge pressures on families. And I think it comes from all sorts of angles. First of all, young people tend to get married much later than they used to. That's because mostly of their education, advanced education and professional training, and also economic issues. They can't afford to get a home. But because it comes so late, they very often have had already serial relationships. And that, I think, doesn't really help them when they come to settle down. The good thing is that young people do say that they do want to get married. But the trouble is that very often, because of these sort of pressures, eventually they slide into marriage rather than really making a decision. It's a sort of quandary of sliders or deciders. And if you don't really make a decision that this is your lifelong commitment to each other, you merely slide into it, it's very easy to slide out of it. And I think that's the real problem that faces people today.
Staying on the subject of marriage, the British government has launched what it calls a consultation to redefine the state of marriage, which could apparently lead to a law in the future legalising a same-sex marriage. What is the church doing to counter this?
Yes, this is a major issue for us at the moment. And it's interesting that you say there was a consultation about this. The consultation really is about how it should happen, not whether it should be happening. And this is something we have raised very much with our politicians, that this was never in any of their party political manifestos. They didn't get elected to do this, and yet they're suddenly foisting it upon us and just asking us how they should go about it rather than whether they should go about it. And there has actually been a campaign. Catholics have been writing to their MPs and getting varied responses, but there seems to be at the moment a slight intimation that the government may be pulling back from it, not making it such a priority. One of the reasons, of course, being that there are other much greater priorities at the moment, but we will, of course, continue to campaign, because once you start redefining marriage, you're really destroying the home and the family. The possibilities of doing so are immense.
Right, let's look at the situation for children, because, of course, a marriage is also about not just a man and a woman, but very often, or nearly always, raising their children. This, too, it's a very daunting task for parents nowadays, you know, with all the challenges, as you say, with the cultural and social differences and the fact that religion doesn't occupy such a central place, shall we say, in the public sphere. Again, what do parents say for them is some of the most difficult aspects of trying to be a good parent and to pass on the faith?
I think one of the aspects which is most important for them, not always recognized by them, is actually the theme of this meeting in Milan, which is about the family, rest and work, because I think families, certainly in this country, are under enormous pressure to succeed, to spend both partners working and working full-time, and under great pressure to perform at a high level, because otherwise, you know, they could lose their jobs. And the family gets in the second place rather than the first place, and there is no balance there. But this also transmits itself to the children as well, because there is great expectation on them from an early age to succeed, both academically and to have the best of every experience that's going. And only the other day I was talking to a family, and they were saying that their little boy was asked, what would he like to do today? He said, I'd really like to stay at home. Which surprised them greatly. But that's the problem, that they don't get time just to be at home with their family and to relax and be children.
Right. What concrete initiatives has the church in England and Wales been carrying out to, as you say, help support marriage and family life in Britain? Can you give us some details of some of your recent initiatives?
Yes, I mentioned some of the things that we worked on. One of them was welcoming, trying to help parishes to be family-friendly parishes. We've done a lot of work on that and produced a series of leaflets on the experience of various sorts of families, or individuals even, because we're all part of families, who didn't experience being welcomed in the parish. What was it like for them? And what could we do about that? You know, what could a parish do about it? It's the sort of material that parish councils can use to do a little examination on their parish and see what they could do. Then the emphasis on spirituality of the home has been very important and very welcomed, really, because so often people do things instinctively in the home, and they're doing it from a Christian background, but they don't recognize it or give it the value that it has as part of their domestic spirituality. So they need to recognize it, own it, and be encouraged by it. We've done some work on marriage preparation. We had a big conference gathering together people from all around the country who are involved in that to try and look at the sort of marriage preparation we are all doing. There are very different models in the country, and we need to look at it and see what is the best thing we can do And we've yet got to get the results of that, the final results of it. But I think it will be very interesting and possibly quite challenging.
Coming back to this World Meeting of Families in Milan, what are your hopes that it will achieve?
It's always difficult to have very precise hopes about this. I think one goes to a conference like this with an open mind and looks to see what is of value, what is helpful, and what can we give to that conference and from our point of view. And it's very one cannot determine beforehand what you're going to come out of the experience with, but it, I think, depends upon the attitude you go in with and the sort of mentality that you bring to the conference, which determines what you take out of it.